Okay, so I you know, I got a scripture last night, but I thought I wanted to say something personal, but I didn't really have anything to say. And on the way to church, I was taking some supplements that I take in the morning. And why do they have to make them so big? Oh my gosh, this thing is like, I think a horse would have trouble swallowing it. And it just was awful. I didn't think it was going to, I thought there was going to be a problem. And that saying went through my head about a tough pill to swallow. And I never say that, but I just remembered it and I thought, oh yeah, that's what this is all about. It's a tough pill to swallow. And that happens every day in our lives almost. There's something to one degree or another. Some are much bigger and harder to swallow than others. But, you know, we get through it. And it's true for everybody, even the people that you wouldn't think, the beautiful people out there in the world that are, you know, in the media or whatever. Everybody has that happening in their lives. You just don't see it. But this is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. My friend who lives in California sent out I think it was Facebook, that there was an earthquake and things fell off the walls at her house just recently. And, you know, I was thinking, wow, we don't really deal with that over here. But it happens in our lives in other ways. There's a river. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her break at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. So he can bring a desolation, but he can also stop a war. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So many people don't believe, but that's who God is. He is the one that will be exalted. He is the one that will stop the wars. He is the one that will be with his people. He's our mighty fortress that we can run to and be safe, no matter what. So today, let's worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's close our eyes to the stuff around us. Forget about the pills that are hard to swallow. And let's just thank him for who he is and look to him for our answers. Look to him for love. Look to him for peace. Look to him for everything that we need. Look to him for our family. Look to him for our friends. Look to him for the world, for the planet, for our children and our children's children. We look to you, Lord God, today. And Lord, make our worship acceptable to you, Lord God. We can't do anything without your help, Lord. Even when we try to worship you, Lord God, we need your help. Thank you, Jesus. Be with us, Lord God. Be glorified in our midst, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. All right, we had a medical situation turn up in church this past week. Mary Jo Asher is going to come up and share a little bit with you. I'm going to share a little bit with you, and we'll go from there. Mary Jo?
Hi, everyone. It's been noted that our church might have been exposed to MRSA, MRSA, which is methicillin-resistant Staph aureus. It is, because people have been on many antibiotics over the years, there's several bugs that don't respond to antibiotics anymore, and MRSA is one of them. I mean, it does respond to some higher up ones, but the normal ones, no. So it's a very common germ. I mean, about one in every three have normal staph. Well, we all have staph on our skin, but I mean, like, you can have MRSA in your nose, you know, but your body is exposed to it and your body takes care of it. Some people, the worst thing that a MRSA, usually when MRSA presents, it's in an open wound, okay? And it's also, you're at very high risk, you know, when you're in very crowded areas like prisons, hospitals, nursing homes, that kind of thing. We took precautions. Our church cleaned and disinfected everything that they could this morning, last night. So we are very confident that we have nipped this in the bud. But if you were to get some kind of sore on your body, you know, this is something that you need to be aware of. If it looks like a spider bite, most likely it's not a spider bite, okay, unless you see the spider biting you. So if you notice something like that, if you have any redness around an area that looks like there's an open wound, there might be some pus, very small. It doesn't have to be huge. That's how MRSA starts. So don't pick at it. Cover it. Go to the doctor and find out what they want to do to help you with that so that you don't get sicker. And it can be on chairs and in clothes, and that's why we did what we did. So, we are very confident. I think we'll be fine, but we just needed to tell you guys. So, all right. Thank you.
Well, we're more than confident because we also have the Lord, and we prayed over this building for God to take care of things. Mary Jo is our church nurse, and my daughter is a nurse. I spoke with her, and we have the resident research expert, Andrea Elliott, who checked out this whole thing out with the CDC. We had a team here this morning. We traced the path the individual who may or may not have it, this person hasn't even been tested for it, but we traced the path. We removed chairs. We disinfected things. We prayed. We're confident. And I'll give you a little Bible story to go along with it, or biblically related story about how we look at this. But we wanted to let everyone know that, in fact, this is something that took place, and we took care of it. There's like the initial period. There's a 7 to 10 day incubation period, and we're in day 8 right now. So again, we're very confident that we have taken care of this situation. You have a story. This story comes from Judaism and Orthodox Judaism. Now, as you know, the Jewish people celebrate the feast of the unleavened bread. Okay, that's goes along with Passover, and bread can be unleavened or bread can be leavened. During the normal course of a year, Jewish people eat leavened bread, as we all do. But for the Feast of Passover, the unleavened bread, you go through your entire house and you remove every bit of leaven from the house. You purge out the leaven. You clean out the leaven. And it's a symbol of how God cleans us and prepares us for entry into his kingdom when we put our faith in the Lord. We put our faith in Jesus. So as the story goes, the individuals go through the entire house with a lighted candle, looking everywhere. And when all is cleaned out, there's a prayer that's given. And the prayer is, Lord, we've cleaned out all the leaven. there's any leaven we've missed, Lord, you clean the rest of it out. And that was the prayer we prayed over this building today. We said, well, we've cleaned it, Lord. We've cleaned everywhere where we know to clean it. If there's anything else, you clean it, Father. You deal with it. So we're going to close this with a prayer, and then we're going to go into the Lord's Supper. Father, we declare, Lord, that you are our protector.
Yes.
You are our Lord. You are the one who heals us from all our diseases.
Yes.
Not only do you heal us from our diseases, but the purpose of the church is a protector. The church protects us from the pestilence, from the noisome pestilence, from the plague that walks at noonday and the famine that walks in the evening, as the 91st Psalm says. And we declare this house clean, Lord. We declare that no one else will get this. We pray that the individual who may or may not have this is healed in the name of Jesus. We pray that it spreads to no one in this church, outside of this church, Father, in families, in neighborhoods, in terms of people in contact. And we ask that you would grant this, Lord God, to heal us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
One other thing that I forgot to mention, it's a contact disease. It's transmitted by contact. And like I say, if we didn't have contact with this individual, the likelihood of getting this is small. But also our confidence, as Mary Jo says, it's in the job we did, and it's in the Lord. So now we're gonna partake of the Lord's Supper. I know with our experience, with COVID has made us a little more epidemic conscious, spreading of things. And I know that, last night when we didn't find out about this till late in the evening, and we got on and we were texting and calling and talking and speaking to find out what the exact details were. And it initially it can hit you as a little, wearisome. It can. You deal with it, you pray, you go to sleep, you wake up. I'm over it. Whatever concern I had, I'm over it. But at the same token, that doesn't mean for people who are just hearing it right now, the concern might be there. So what I think we're going to do today is we had powerful worship, as we always do. We've got the word of the Lord. We've got prayer. We're going to do communion and do the word, and we're just going to dismiss everybody. We're just going to send you home to rejoice in the Lord and trust in God. I'm probably a little more cautious than most people. I'm like, we clean those rooms for the kids, and I don't want any kids slipping on something because, they're still wet and they're a little bit wet and things like that. So we're just going to do that today, and we'll give everybody, look, we do not have a short service. So having a short service, hey, take advantage of it when you can. More than likely, it's not going to happen very often. In fact, if what I believe, and I'm going to share this in the community, the Spirit of the Lord is being poured out all across our country. Be prepared for longer services, because I've been through several times of revival, and when the Holy Spirit starts moving, no one leaves church when the Holy Spirit is moving. When people say, that Lord of the Harvest, it's so long. And when the Spirit starts moving, it'll be like, wow, that went fast. Do we really have to go home? So let's take a look at the book of Revelation, chapter 11. Why do we deal with the book of Revelation, chapter 11? Well, here's what the Lord did to me on Tuesday. The Lord started this on Tuesday, not knowing anything that was going on that we would discover late last night. But the Lord spoke to me, and Tuesday was November 11th. And so the Lord said, look at Revelation chapter 11, verse 11. Because it's 11:11, and then the Lord said, and for the next few days, you've got 11:19. So from 11:11 to 11:19, I've been looking at those verses. I will look at the 17th, 18th, and 19th, and just see what that verse is saying and pray into it. So let's see what the Lord was saying to us. 11:11, just starting in the middle of a chapter. And what happens is in the previous verses to 11:11, those who are proclaiming the word of truth, two prophets raised up in the book of Revelation have been martyred because of their proclamation of the truth. And what happens in verse 11, and this was a nice start, verse 11 says, but after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood up on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw him. So Tuesday, I said, well, that's resurrection. Lord, let's pray in a resurrection. And I prayed that day, Lord, raise us from the dead in those areas in our life that aren't alive to God. In those areas in our lives that we're not fueled by the Holy Spirit. We're not fueled by healing. We're not fueled by deliverance, Lord. Send forth your resurrection life into our midst. That's how these things kind of work with me. If God gives me a verse, I read it, I look at it, what does it mean, and I pray into it. I pray something for us and for God's people. Verse 12 then, and that was Wednesday. Verse 12 says, then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they went up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies watched them. The second thing, Wednesday, it was praying into, after resurrection, there's a call up to heaven. And the Lord calls us all up to heaven. And that's how I prayed in. I said, Lord, we need to go to heaven with you. We need to go to heaven. We need to go to heaven to see your glory. We need to go to heaven to see your power. We need to go to heaven to see the Lamb and the Lord God on the throne. We need to go to heaven. Lord, take us to heaven so we can be empowered by heaven, redeemed by heaven, worship in heaven, receive the grace of heaven, and most of all, to see things the way heaven sees things. When Scripture says that we're seated in the heavenly places in Christ, and by the way, we are present tense, seated in the heavenly places with Jesus. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? I don't feel like I'm seated in heaven. No, you don't have to feel like you're seated in heaven. You are seated in heaven. It's not about feeling it or understanding it. It's believing it. And when you believe, and see, one of the things I do, you know, Tim Atchley, who I quote often, or I send out his prayers sometimes on Sunday mornings that he has for the congregation. Tim sends out short exhortations, just scriptural exhortations, biblical teachings through the course of the week. Sometimes I send those teachings out to you as well. But what I do is I save them all for Sunday morning. I like to read all the stuff that Tim has sent out on Sunday morning, because one thing I know that Tim is going to always be talking about is faith. And I was not disappointed this morning, as I never am. He just spoke on faith and the necessity for faith in the Lord. He's just, that's such a big and a huge issue with Tim. And what God is about to do and what he's doing, we're going to need faith. We need to see the level of faith increase in our own lives, in our churches, in the body of Christ in America, for our own lives. We need to see an increase of faith. And here's the good news. How do we get an increase in faith? Oh, Lord, I got to have more faith. Faith, faith, faith. No, we don't. Faith isn't increased because of our efforts. Faith is we receive the grace of the Lord, and that's what increases our faith. So Tim is always talking about two things, grace and faith, grace and faith. And we have faith in Jesus that if he says we're seated in the heavenly places, we are. That simply means that we have access to God's heavenly power, which we need in our own lives, in our ministries, in our relationships, in our ability to proclaim the gospel. So Wednesday, 11:12, and I read Revelation 11, verse 12, It was about going to heaven. And so I prayed, Lord, your church needs to be in heaven more. You know, there's so many distractions in the earth that hinder us, hinder our faith, hinder our seeing things God's way, hinder our worship. You know, when something comes forth and your immediate reaction is fear, or your immediate reaction is confusion, or your immediate reaction is anger, that's just all that is the Lord's way of saying, you're not walking in faith, son. You're not walking in daughter. You're not walking in faith, daughter. And so those are the moments when we need to just remember, oh, wait, I live in heaven, not on the earth. On the earth, there's fear. On the earth, there's anger. On the earth, there's confusion. On the earth, there's lust, and there's addiction, and there's death, and there's disease. But I don't live on the earth. I live in heaven. So that's what was the word for 11:12. Now, 11:13, so this was now, we're now 11:13, we're up to Thursday. At that hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the rest were terrified. The rest feared. This is the fear of the Lord. The rest feared and gave glory to the God of heaven. And so I prayed into the fear of the Lord that day. I just said, Lord, we need to walk in the fear of the Lord. We need to walk in, and the purpose of the fear of the Lord is to bring us into repentance. And our earth needs repentance, and our country needs repentance, and our families need repentance. So day three, I prayed for repentance. I'm just showing you how this works, because your assignment will be, we haven't read verses 17, 18, and 19 yet, because that's for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Read verse 17 on Monday and pray into it. Read verse 18 on Tuesday, pray into it. Verse 19 on Wednesday. Now here's an interesting one. Now this is where sometimes though you need a little biblical scholarship here. So I get to Friday. Friday's the 14th, and Friday the 14th says the second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is soon to come. Now, how am I going to pray into that? Well, the second woe is the sixth trumpet. The first woe was the fifth trumpet, and the third woe is the seventh trumpet. So what we're reading here in these verses was the second woe, which is the sixth trumpet. And the way that I was able to see that is I just went back to the chapter 9 chapter 8. Chapter 8, the final verse, verse 13. And sometimes you got to look backwards at the context. 8:13 says, then I looked and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly in the heavens overhead. And it says, woe, 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 that's three woes, to those who dwell on the earth at the blast of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow. And up to that point, you had the first four trumpets. Chapter 9 was the fifth angel, that's the first woe. And then the sixth angel is the second woe. And so the second woe runs from 9:13, all of chapter 10, and all of chapter 11 up to 11:14. So what I did was I said, okay, this is the second woe. What happens in the second woe? Well, the sixth trumpet blows, judgment comes on the earth, and the purpose of judgment is to get people to repent. God sends judgment not just to cut people off. He sends judgment to get people to turn their hearts back unto the Lord, to turn their hearts away from sin and back to the Lord. Well, what happens, though, between the initial blowing of the sixth trumpet, the first woe, is in verse 10, or chapter 10, the church is commissioned into a new prophetic ministry, a new prophetic authority. Why? Because one of the things that Revelation talks about is that all these judgments come from the Lord, and still the people do not repent. So chapter 10 says, the Lord, when people are not repenting, the Lord sends an anointing on the church, a prophetic anointing, to give us spiritual authority to help people to repent. So that's what I did. I said, Lord, we need in the church, this is what I prayed for on the 14th, which was Friday. I said, Lord, give the church a new call and a new commissioning so that we might help people in this hour to repent and turn back to the Lord. And of course, you understand that when we say, oh God, give me an anointing to help people repent, He's going to help me to repent first, and then, of course, I'm going to be able to help other people to repent. You know, it's just like we go through, each one of us goes through difficult things in our lives. You go through the specific things that you go through, the Lord brings you through there, those things, to be able to help other people who are going through the same things. That's what how God always works. And so if the Lord is going to help us to help other people to repent, He's going to teach us how to repent. There's a beauty to repentance. There's a grace to repentance. There's a joy to repentance. There's a lifting of your spirit upward, not downward. Some people think that repentance has to do with condemnation or guilt or judgment. It has to do with joy. Repentance is you deal with your stuff and you lay it at the foot of the cross and you leave it there and it's gone. The Lord takes it. The Lord takes it. So what I prayed for on Friday is, Lord, we need a new prophetic anointing in the church. So then we get to Saturday and Sunday. Saturday is the 15th. Verse of chapter 11. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, how do I look at that? Well, there are two kingdoms at work in human history. There's the kingdom of the world that's dominated by the world, the way the world sees things, the way the world does things, what the world believes is true, and there's a kingdom of Christ. There's a kingdom of the Lord. And it's run a completely different way. The protocol of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Lord, is different from the kingdom of the world. We live in the kingdom of the Lord. We live in an alternate reality, an alternate kingdom. We don't do things the way the world does. We love people who hate us. We forgive people who mistreat us and harm us. We bless people who curse us. We do good to those who seek to do evil to us. You can't have a greater picture of the contrast between the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of the Lord. But what it takes for the seventh trumpet is the close of human history. And many people think we're moving toward that close of human history. And in that close, the kingdom of God overturns the kingdom of the world. The kingdom of God swallows up the kingdom of the world. The kingdom of God establishes itself while it disestablishes the kingdom of the world. The kingdom of God succeeds and the kingdom of the world fails. That's apostolic authority. We need apostolic authority to see His kingdom worked out through our lives, through our proclamation, and as a reminder to people that Jesus is going to do it. So I prayed on Saturday. Friday, I'm praying for a new prophetic anointing for repentance to get people to repent so that they can be prepared for that seventh trumpet, so that they might be clothed. As Scripture says, don't let the thief come to you like in the middle of the night and shock you and find you unprepared and unaware and not dressed for the occasion. Where the repentance is getting people prepared for the return of Jesus. And the return of Jesus is called a wedding feast. It's a joyful thing. It's God uniting with the peoples and the nations of the earth that will turn to Him. We need apostolic authority for that. So I'm praying for prophetic authority, to help people repent. And then I'm praying for apostolic authority the next day to have that apostolic authority to establish God's kingdom in the earth. And then today, here's the verse. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God. And so I'm right in service today saying, we're here to worship you, Lord God. We're here to worship you. We're not here to be overly concerned about MRSA or staph infection. We've done our part and you'll do the rest, and we're here to worship you. We're not here to be concerned about all the things that are going on around us. We're here to bring ourselves and all of those we love in our prayer and our worship into the presence of the Lord and experience the benefits of his kingdom. Whether the full kingdom is established tonight, tomorrow, 10 years from now, 100 years from now, we can live in that kingdom now. And when we live in that kingdom now, it's because we're worshiping the King. And we're in heaven. And we're raised from the dead. And we walk in prophetic and apostolic authority. So as we're about to partake of the Lord's Supper, I'm going to pray one prayer. And then after you finish the Lord's Supper, just stay there for a minute, and I'm going to pray a second prayer. So, Father, we come before your throne in the name of Jesus. If, in fact, your return to establish your kingdom is a wedding feast, Lord, then this is part of the celebration at the wedding. We have bread, we have drink, Lord God. We have the elements of celebration, Lord God. And we celebrate the arrival of your kingdom. We celebrate the dawn of redemption. We celebrate the removal of tears from our eyes. We celebrate the healing, the complete healing of our bodies, Lord God. And we celebrate the relationship that we have with you, Father, Son, and Spirit, as your children and your servants, and the recipients of your grace. We celebrate that, Lord, and we celebrate our relationship with the great family of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation that you're going to be bringing in, Lord. So we partake of your body, Lord, and your body releases healing in us as we partake of it. In Jesus' name. And second, Lord, we partake of your blood, Lord, which cleanses us from our sin, which cleanses us from our diseases, which cleanses us from our spiritual impoverishment, Lord, and prepares us, Lord, to walk in the full blessings of your kingdom, again in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I want to proclaim the revival has begun. It's begun in this nation. It's begun in the nations of the earth, Lord, and it's beginning here at Lord of the Harvest. I believe it's beginning at Lord of the Harvest, November 2025, as we partake of these chapters in the book of Revelation, Lord. Father, I declare a call and a commissioning to a new prophetic anointing in our midst, Lord God, to be able to proclaim the gospel, Lord God, and to be able to bring forth repentance and faith, Lord God, in those people to whom we preach that gospel in the name of Jesus. And second, Lord, I proclaim a call and a commissioning of a new apostolic anointing, Lord, that will form us away from looking like a 21st century American church and looking more like a first century apostolic church. And I proclaim that it begins November of 2025, not only in this church, but in this region, Lord. Yes. Pour yes. out your Holy Spirit yes. in our churches, yes. Lord. And may we rise up in this time of great moral, great political, great epistemological famine, Lord God. We are in a famine, Lord God, but you are coming to bring us the abundance of bread, Lord God, the abundance of bread. In Jesus' name, we prepare ourselves to receive it, and we receive it, and we are going to live it out in faith, Father. When circumstances in our lives, in the lives of those around us, in the lives of our nation, contradict that it has begun, it's a call for us to walk in faith, to go to heaven, to walk in faith, and begin to live as if these things are true, Lord. That's what hope is all about. And then the faith will fill everything else in. I pray, Lord, I pray for a supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit corporately in this house, in this congregation, Lord. Many of us have experienced individual baptisms in the Holy Spirit. We want a corporate one, like what took place on Pentecost, and let it happen soon, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray it. Amen.
Amen.
Now, God bless you all. Go home in health. Go home in rejoicing. Go home in expectation. And maybe on the 17th, read 11:17 and pray into it. Maybe on the 18th, on Tuesday, read 11:18 and pray into it. And then let's Wednesday, let's read the 19th and pray into it, and let's see what God does in our midst. God bless you all. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.